Okay, well, good afternoon, everybody. Well, I would like to acknowledge my co-authors on this presentation, who are Brittany Johnson, Bill Peter John, and Mary Beth Adams. And I'd like to note that this work that I'll be reporting on really comes out of Brittany's master's thesis, which of course means that she did all the hard work, and I took some data, and here I am. So I'm going to talk about nitrogen inputs from atmospheric deposition to forested ecosystems. And we, of course, all know that nitrogen inputs from atmospheric deposition act as a fertilizer to forest ecosystems under some circumstances, and as such, they'll increase, or they're expected to increase, productivity and therefore carbon sequestration. But at the same time, excess nitrogen deposition leads to nitrogen saturation, with that, to nitrate leaching, to aquatic systems, and cation loss from forest soils, which may result in loss of productivity and therefore carbon sequestration. And so we wanted to know how a young hardwood forest might fare against increased rates of atmospheric nitrogen and sulfur deposition. And we did a study in the long-term soil productivity area at the Furneaux Experimental Forest in West Virginia. And why might this be of interest in West Virginia in particular is that we get some of the highest rates of nitrogen deposition in the country. And West Virginia is 80% forested. Our second largest contributor to the economy is forestry. And West Virginia is the second largest hardwood lumber producer in the country. Therefore, any losses to productivity might have some quite large economic implications for us. And so long-term soil productivity study has, for our part of the study, had three treatments, and that was whole tree harvest, and addition of twice the ambient rate of nitrogen and sulfur deposition, which would be 36 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare per year, and 40 kilograms of sulfur per hectare per year, split into three doses and applied annually again. Third treatment was whole tree harvest, plus the twice the ambient rate of nitrogen and sulfur deposition, plus dolomite at the rate of twice the export rate from the forested watersheds, which translates into 22.5 kilograms of calcium per hectare per year and 11.6 kilograms of magnesium per hectare per year. And our approach, or our experimental design, was randomized complete block design with four blocks along a slope gradient, and plots are 0.2 hectares with buffer areas, treated buffer areas. We measured above ground woody biomass, and for that we measured diameter at breast height, or DBH. In 2006, at that time the stands were 10 years old, and biomass was estimated with allometric equations. Many of those were species and site-specific. They were developed specifically for this purpose at the Furneaux. And for the ones that we didn't have those equations, we used equations from the literature. And we estimated carbon. This is pending further analysis. Right now, unfortunately, it's only 50% of the biomass across the board. We also did fine root biomass and carbon. And for that, we did 10 randomly located samples per treatment plot. 230.5 centimeter depth and 2 inch in diameter soil cores. For this purpose, we only use 3 out of the 4 blocks. One of the blocks is just too difficult to work in. It's very rocky. And so we allowed Brittany not to sample there. Samples were composited per plot for the carbon analysis, and so the carbon analysis in our root samples has actually been analyzed. We then took the 10-year DBH numbers from our actual measurements, and we projected the growth of these stands for the subsequent 60 years. We used SILVA. It's a stand simulation model designed specifically for central hardwoods. Well, and we applied biomass equations to the diameters that we obtained from SILVA. And carbon was estimated just like before. So this is a picture from, I believe, last summer from these stands. So it's a young, very diverse, species-wise, central hardwood forest. We think, some of us think that it might have a closed canopy. Other people might argue that a little bit. It's just the diversity of species creates this kind of diverse canopy. So it's not surprising that we have differing opinions on the matter. This graph shows us the different species that we encounter in these different treatments. And so on the x-axis, I have three treatments, which are whole tree harvest, the first one, the first cluster of graphs, whole tree harvest and twice the ambient rate of nitrogen sulfur deposition, and then whole tree harvest plus the twice ambient deposition rate plus dolomite treatments. And on the y-axis, I have relative density in percent. And so the most prominent thing that jumps out, of course, is the blue bar. That is pin cherry. So close to 50% of our trees on these sites is pin cherry. That is no surprise because this area was clear cut before. We also have black cherry. We have sweet birch. We have yellow poplar, red maple, a couple of magnolia species. And then this category, other species, small amounts of red and white oak, among other things. And so at age 10, we found, this is a graph of above ground woody biomass. And again, the same treatment series, whole tree harvest plus twice ambient nitrogen and sulfur, whole tree harvest, twice ambient rate of nitrogen and sulfur and dolomite. And on the y-axis, we have above ground wood biomass in megagrams per hectare. And so, yeah, I mean, this is not very exciting. There are no treatment differences in above-ground woody biomass. And the average for anybody that is interested in numbers is 25.6 megagrams per hectare across the treatments. No treatment differences. This is carbon. Well, we only estimated carbon, so no wonder it looks the same. There are no treatment differences, of course. And so the question became, was there a lack of growth stimulation with the nitrogen additions? Or rather, did it happen earlier and we simply missed it by focusing on age 10? Or is it possible that we might still encounter that fertilization effect, that it's not quite there yet? And this is where our growth projection comes in to some degree. And I'll talk about the degree at the very end in my conclusions. And so what this shows is on the x-axis, our stand ages, our projected stand ages from 10, which is our measurement year, all the way to age 60. On the y-axis, I have carbon in above ground wood in megagrams per hectare. And so what the statistics is telling us about this is that, oh, and the treatments. And my colors are beautiful here on the screen. Your colors are terrible, and I apologize. But at any rate, the uppermost graph, which should be whole tree and twice ambient rate of deposition, and it should be dark green. I'm not really sure what it is that you see. But I have beauty, yeah. So I see wonderful green. But at any rate, the uppermost graph is the whole tree plus twice ambient rate of atmospheric deposition, okay? And that's really the one that is different, and that's what we need to know. The other two are the other two treatments, the control and the whole tree deposition and dolomite treatment. And so the statistics tells us that, yes, there are significant differences between years. So if you compare 10 to 20 and 20 to 30 and so on, they're different in terms of carbon. They're different between the three treatments, but there's no differences in treatments within years. So in other words, if you average any one treatment over the projection period, you get differences, but you don't get differences just within any one year. So it appears that the whole tree and twice ambient rate of atmospheric deposition of nitrogen and sulfur appears to be able to sequester more carbon over the projection period. And the mitigation treatment, the dolomite treatment, and the control sequestered the same amount of carbon into the above-ground woody biomass, right? Because these two lines below are basically the same, indistinguishable. And if anybody is interested in numbers, the projection carbon averages across the projection period The ones that were actually significantly different are 62.5 milligrams per hectare for the control, for the control, 68.7 milligrams per hectare for the uppermost line for the atmospheric deposition treatment, and 61.4 for the whole tree deposition and dolomite treatment. Okay, and so this is root biomass, again, going back only to H10, actual measurements on the site. Again, on the x-axis, we have whole tree harvest plus twice nitrogen and sulfur, whole tree harvest plus twice nitrogen and sulfur plus dolomite, and root biomass and carbon on the y-axis in megagrams per hectare. And root mass is red in your graph, the graph that you're looking at, and carbon is the dark blue. And here we actually found that the increased atmospheric rate of nitrogen and sulfur deposition has a significant effect on below ground biomass and carbon. It's higher. Conclusions. Well, high deposition rates, in our case, addition of twice the ambient rates, did not decrease nor stimulate carbon sequestration into woody biomass at age 10. It appears from our projections that we might be able to see that and measure that fertilization effect sometime in the future. We have some issues, though, with that. One of the issues is we don't quite understand what the pin cherry does in the simulation itself. I mean, we obviously have enough information to figure out what pin cherry does in the landscape, but we're not really quite sure what it does in the simulation. So if anybody is an expert in silva, I'd love to talk to them. And silva itself is kind of interesting. It does not reproduce treatment effects. Therefore, our projection, our fertilization or increased rates of nitrogen deposition ended with our measurement at age 10. And whatever is projected are all the effects from before. Silva has no way of adding treatments to the projection. So that will be what we see in reality, of course, over time might be slightly different because of the fact that we're not projecting additional nitrogen and sulfur, or lime for that matter. High deposition increased carbon in roots. Well, exactly how reliable, I mean, it is reliable in our data. I am confident that our data are fine. The one thing that may be limiting is the fact that we did not sample one of the blocks. And one of the blocks that we did sample, we sampled 3 out of 4, actually has much higher biomass, root biomass, and carbon stocks in roots, in fine roots. I fail to say that those are fine roots, less than 2 millimeters in size. At any rate, that one block is very high, and that drives our statistical significance. So we still have some discussion on that point. And the dolomite apparently mitigated deposition effects because it behaved like control. So whatever effects, whether increase or decrease, dolomite appears to do it. And that really is all that I can say at the moment. Thank you.